Hey, welcome everybody. Greetings. This is Brent Kuhlman, and this is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. Yeah, it's great to be with you. Again, I'm your host, Brent Kuhlman, and I serve Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. And most people, when I say Murdoch, Nebraska, they don't have a clue. There's what? Murdoch? Never heard of it. Well, neither did I until I came here about 20 years ago. Had no idea where Murdoch was. It's for those of you who want to know, and I know you're just dying to know, of course, Murdoch, Nebraska is in between Lincoln and Omaha, right off the interstate. Most people who travel through Nebraska, you know, when they take summer vacations, if I say, well, do you know where Mahoney State Park is? And they'll say, oh yeah, we know where that is. And I'll say, well, we're just straight south of there. And of course, there's tons of great golf courses in this area. If you love to golf, this is a great place in the country to come and golf. All right, so I'm here to do the most audacious thing that a Lutheran pastor can ever do with anybody. And it's this, it's to invite you to dare to be Lutheran. And I say that sincerely, I really do mean that. It's time for not only Lutherans, but it's time for Lutherans to make the invitation. So Lutherans need to dare to be Lutheran. And at the same time, Lutherans need to invite other people to dare to be Lutheran too. We've been covering the New Testament, doing a flyby, you know, reading the New Testament for understanding. And Scott and I, we spent a lot of time in 2 Corinthians, especially chapter 5. I mean, that's just a critical chapter in Paul's letter. And Scott has decided to do some other things on his own. So I'm by myself now with Table Talk, and I want to take this opportunity to say thanks to Scott for all the years and doing the Table Talk radio show with me, and really had a great time. It was a blast, a great gig. So here I am. You're stuck with me, everybody, all by my lonesome. No producer, no co-host. It's just Kuhlman. Well, that's a really dangerous thing. Yeah. We can have fun. But we were, like I said, Scott and I, we'd been doing this flyby of the New Testament. And I want to, either towards the end of this first segment or maybe the beginning of the second, I want to get into chapter 11 and a little bit of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, where Paul boasts about his suffering and kind of gives his credentials, if you will, of, here, I'll tell you, this is what true apostolic ministry is all about. It's basically about suffering. But we'll get to that in a minute. I want to reemphasize the fact, as I've done many times on this show, of how important the Lutheran Reformation is, not only for Lutheran congregations, Lutheran pastors, but also for the sake of the church universal, the church Catholic, small c, if you will. I think we've forgotten this, and I want to just reemphase this. And I want to do it in this way. I recently was a part of a conversation with a person that I know, and her mother died. Now, she's not a Lutheran, but she's Roman Catholic. And when her mother died, you know, she grieved her mother's death, as we all would. But, you know, things are recalled in one's life, both, you know, good things and bad things. But sometimes the emphasis is on the bad things. And so, you know, when someone passes away, you hear some strange things, but at the same time, sometimes you hear some quite revealing things about how people really think, how they really think about how they stand before God, and, you know, what they've got to do to kind of make things right with God, you know? And so in this conversation, the daughter whose mother died, she said, and this was in the company of other people as well, the daughter said, well, I guess we've all got to atone for our deeds one way or the other. Now, that was quite telling about what she really thought about how people stand before God and how they get right with God. And, you know, when push comes to shove, Jesus wasn't mentioned as the one who's atoned for all sin and for every sinner, you know, in recent episodes of Table Talk, when we looked at chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, you know, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, or God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. That's not even on the radar screen. And then in reaction to that comment one of the people that was standing by said this, "Well, you know, take comfort in knowing that we just try to do the best that we can." Now, those two remarks, well, I guess we've all got to atone for our deeds one way or the other. And then the second remark, well, as long as we do the best we can, do you realize, folks, that that is medieval? And I'm just simply saying that for the sake of the discussion here and speaking in general. When I mean medieval, I mean medieval church way of thinking, especially as long as we do the best that we can. You know, I won't quote the Latin because you're not interested in the Latin, but I'll simply say what the Latin said in English. Do the best that you can with the help of God's grace. That's how one then atoned, if you will, for the deeds that you do in this life, okay? And that's why there was a Reformation. And this is precisely why what I've said before many times, this is precisely why God created Lutherans. And, you know, for those of you who are on the edge, if you will, of becoming Roman Catholic or some other denomination other than Lutheran, it's time for you to rethink that and fall in love all over again. And I mean that, to fall in love all over again, or maybe for the first time in your life, with the Lutheran Reformation. Because the Lutheran Reformation pulls the rug out from the two remarks that I've just passed on to you. Well, I guess we've all got to atone for our deeds one way or the other. And then the second remark, well, as long as we do the best that we can. You know, as if we can actually atone. And secondly, that God will actually count the best that we do favorably for salvation. And the scripture pulls the rug under that, or out from under that. And again, that's why there was a Lutheran Reformation. You remember how Isaiah said that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Literally in the Hebrew, it's menstrual rags. He's talking about the good things, the pious things, the religious things that people do, okay? That they do in order to justify themselves before God. You know, in other words, they'd say, well, look what I did, God. And it was so pious, and I was so sincere, so therefore that should count before you in some way, shape, or form. And that's the way the medieval church was matrixed. It's the way the Western church in general is still matrixed, and I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church. It's still matrixed that way. Do the best that you can with the help of God's grace, and you, together with Christ, especially when you offer the sacrifice of the Mass, which supposedly, I'm not, again, don't misunderstand me, I'm giving you the Roman Catholic view, especially when you offer the sacrifice of the Mass, you're offering up the body and blood of Christ as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the living and the dead. And keep in mind, and I'm speaking in general here again, when you run with that, you're saying that you, the church, together with Christ, are making atonement. You know, and Lutheranism says, no, that's not what the scriptures teach at all. The scriptures teach that Jesus alone is the atoner. And he's the atoner only in his obedience, passive and active, and only in his death and resurrection. And it's, again, the 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, so that God then counts us righteous for Christ's sake. That's all. That's all. You mean I didn't have to do anything? No. You mean all the good deeds that I do don't count before God with regard to sin? No, they don't. All right, so that I think that helps illustrate once again how important the Lutheran Reformation is. Because think about this: if your big concern is trying to atone for your deeds in one way, shape, or form, or trying to do that the best that you can, where's all your attention? Where's all your focus in life? It's all on you. You're belly buttoned looking at yourself all the time. In other words, you're curved in on yourself, and your salvation then essentially depends on who? Jesus? No. It depends on you. And the Lutheran Reformation comes along, and God did this on purpose. He really did. I mean, there's a reason why he sent Martin Luther, and there's a reason why it happened. It's so that people will be turned away from themselves, outside of themselves, to Jesus Christ, who alone is the Savior of sinners. You know, Matthew 1:21, we celebrated Christmas not too long ago. Matthew 1:21, you will give him the name Jesus, because he, notice who's doing the verb there, he will save his people from their sins. He's the one who atones, okay? And the rest of scriptures that teach that Jesus alone is the atoning sacrifice. I mean, Romans 3 is all about that, that God presented him as a propitiation, that is to say, the mercy seat. Remember the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in the Old Testament? Well, that's Jesus, right? So when Jesus is the one who atones for you and for all your sin through his divine blood shed on the cross, you are then free. You're free. Free for what? Well, you're free to quit trying to work out your salvation all by yourself. That's why Paul says, I think it's 2 Corinthians 6, I don't have it in front of me, I'm doing it off the top of my head, but that's why, essentially, I'm going to paraphrase, he says, so quit fighting with God on this. Put down your guns. When he says, be reconciled to God, that's Paul's way of saying, it's a done deal. Quit fighting him, okay? So you're free from trying to earn your salvation, even if it's with the pious words of with the help of God's grace. And keep in mind, God's grace, there's performance-enhancing drug to actually transform you so that, you know, you can only be saved when you're holy. Those are other programs that I've given. I'm not going to go into that. You're then freed then to live for other people. And this is God's good use of his redeemed, died for, Good Friday, Easter people, is that his believers who receive his gifts of salvation in Christ and delivered in word and sacrament then are actually free to live for the sake of other people. Namely, and it's not to win their salvation, that's done, but simply because these people need your love and they need your help. Like parents take care of their children, like police officers take care of citizens, like teachers teach their students, etc. All right? So that is why I wanted to do that today, because that just struck me as immense, so that you, as I said earlier, you'll fall in love with the Lutheran Reformation all over again. And I hope you do that. And I hope Table Talk has been helpful in doing that as well. Now, back to 2 Corinthians. Now I'm going to read a portion of chapter 11, and that'll probably end the first segment, and then we'll come back in a minute. Paul says, and this is verse 1, I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Notice a sidebar here, as I'm running out of time in this first segment, but sidebar, can't help myself. You know how it is with Kuhlman. Notice how not only here, but elsewhere in the New Testament, that the church is described as Christ's bride, and that he is the bridegroom, and he marries himself to her. Now, you see, this is nothing new, because this is precisely how God describes his relationship to Israel. You know, God marries himself to Israel, and he remains faithful to her. And what happens with the Old Testament Israel? She is unfaithful. So what does God do? Well, he sends his son, Jesus Christ. And he betroths himself to not only Jews this time, but to Gentiles as well. And so people from all nations, all ethnicities, all languages then are betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering, death, and resurrection. That's precisely why very recently in the church we celebrated Epiphany, you know, where the Magi come. It's the Gentile Christmas. And then if you're following what I'm saying here, then you also have a name for Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper. It's Holy Communion. The two become one. They're married to each other. And I got to stop there. We'll come back here in a minute, and we'll carry on with Table Talk.